There's a true story that comes from the sinking of the Titanic, where a frightened woman found herself in a lifeboat, but then said, "Can I go back to my stateroom?" And they said, "Yes, you have 3 minutes, but if you do not come back within 3 minutes, we will leave without you." So she goes back into the Titanic as it's beginning to slant in this direction. She goes through the casino where all of the money is strewn over the floor. It's covered in water. She goes into her elegant stateroom. She pushes aside all of her diamonds and all of her jewels, and she gets 3 oranges and then goes back to the lifeboat and leaves the sinking Titanic. What is so striking when you think about this, 45 minutes earlier, those oranges would have meant nothing to her, and her diamonds and all of her wealth would have been what she looked to find true meaning and value in her life. But now, because her life had changed so tremendously, she came to the recognition that what really mattered in the long run to help her live was those 3 oranges. Jesus tells parables all the time in order to shake us up, in order to get us to see that what really matters in this world are the things that so often we neglect, we ignore, and we do not see. And there is no place where this is more clearly articulated than in Matthew 25, where we have what are called the 3 parables of the judgment. And the first parable is the one that I read this morning, a parable about 10 maidens, who have these lamps. And we need to appreciate that Jewish marriage customs are very different from ours. In the time when Jesus lived, a man would be betrothed to his fiancée for about a year. And during that betrothal, it was as if they were married, even though that the marriage had not yet been consummated. There would then be the wedding ceremony, which would then be followed by this big procession. And part of the procession would involve maidens who would be there with their lamps to greet the bridegroom and his bride as they came to their new home, where the celebration would go on for the better part of a week. And so here Jesus is using a custom that would have been well known to his hearers to tell a story about preparedness. And both sets of maidens have their lamps, which the early fathers interpreted as our faith. They had faith in God. They had faith in Jesus. But what one group had and the other group didn't have was the flask with the extra oil. And fathers like Origen have said that the oil is representative of good works. And so when we think about this, that our lives as we live in this world have to have both faith and good works. James, in his epistle, says, "Faith without works is dead." And we could see that this is actually a fundamental theme of Matthew's gospel. Faith and works come together. And when we read the parable in this way, and we think about it in light of the larger theme of Matthew's gospel, this comes through very, very clearly. I think I've mentioned this before, that Matthew is the most Jewish of all of the gospels. And one of the things he does in the structure of his gospel is he divides it into 5 books, just as the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, have that same structure. The first book is what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. And at the very beginning of book 1 of Matthew's 5-book gospel, listen to what Jesus says. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. And so glorify your Father who is in heaven." So book 1 of the Gospel of Matthew has as the central theme this connection between light shining and good works. When we get to Matthew 25, where our reading is from today, This is the fifth book. It's the book of judgment. And Jesus returns to this same theme, that our good works are to shine so as to give glory to God our Father, and they are to be seen by men. And of course, women, for that matter. And so what this parable urges us as disciples to do is to persevere in good works. A little bit earlier, in Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. There's the faith, to repent and to believe. Those are the lamps, right? But the lamps then need to be filled with the oil of good works. And so that the rest of the gospel is given over to this call to be people who will never tire in doing good works. And this is one of the great challenges of being Christians over decades of our lives, that we can tire of doing good works. So Paul says in Galatians 6:9, never tire in doing good works. And then over in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, here Jesus is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's challenging them and saying, do not give up the good works that you did from the beginning. Every disciple is offered the grace and the opportunity to continue in a life of charity, in a life of good works. And I would invite you to spend a little time, maybe over the weekend, to read Matthew 25. Here we have the beginning parable that is setting the overarching theme of faith and works. The second parable, which is the parable of the talents, is really all about faith. How do we see God? How do we relate to God? And then the third parable is the parable of the sheep and the goats, which is all about good works, how we will relate, especially to those who are the most disadvantaged. In light of our world, the values of Jesus, as St. Paul says in today's epistle, can seem like foolishness. But it's only when we recognize that all of us are in the same boat that is leading to death and ultimately to judgment, that we can then realize that life is to be lived expectantly, life is to be lived faithfully with the lamps, and life is to be lived charitably with good works, the oil that gives light to those lamps, so that indeed we will welcome the bridegroom when he comes, and we will share in his wedding banquet.